Western Kansas News, Colby Van Camp and Joe Blake here with John Kurtz, the voice of Three Ma, one of the more popular Kansas State podcasts and one of my favorites that I listen to as a Kansas State fan and as someone who has to pretend that he's not a homer anymore. So how's it going, John? I appreciate you stopping by.
Hey, doing great, man. Whirlwind of a day here, as always. But yeah, it's been a blast.
Yeah, how's your Big 12 Media Day been going? Getting good stuff?
It's been good, but yeah, it's always like... You get here, and then stuff just starts happening left and right, man. Like, Radio Row is it's a little bit of a trip. And I was frustrated this morning because, like, I was like, oh, you know, I won't catch the first shuttle, but I'll be down there. I was down there, like, 7:15, and I was, like, not thinking Vegas. You know, by the time I got here, it was, like, 8:15 because you got to wait in the rideshare thing. It takes a while to get here. And so, anyway, by the time I got here, I was just scrambling a little bit. So, rookie mistake by me, even though I've been to many of these things. But I'm used to Arlington, you know? You take me out of Arlington, I don't know how to act.
Yeah, it's. I think everybody on the Kansas State side is a little bit conditioned to Arlington, and they said, oh, this is a bit different, but that's okay. Everybody's kind of learning on the job here this afternoon. Kansas State, they're playing good football. They're going to have a really good team on paper this coming season. How are you feeling about the Cats leading into 2024-25?
Yeah, I feel good. I mean... I'm cautiously optimistic. I feel like last year expectations were pretty high. And, you know, Chris Klieman, I thought, had a good answer when we asked him about this. Like, hey, are there lessons to learn from how you guys handled it last year as opposed to how the season played out and what you can do this year? And he said, like, yeah, there definitely are. But at the same time, I mean, we did win 9 games. It's not like it was a horrible season last year. And that's probably fair. But do I feel better about the team this year than I did at this point last year? It's a tough one. I think they have a higher ceiling. Mainly because of the quarterback. But at the same time, the quarterback's less proven. So there's probably more variance in this team based on that mere fact alone. I also would point out, like, the offensive line, you're replacing a lot there. I think Connor Riley is a guy who's proven he can do it year in and year out and kind of rinse and repeat, plug and replace. To me, honestly, I would use what I've been saying about him is I feel like Connor Riley is, like, very Matt Campbell-esque in that Matt Campbell, I think, has a high floor and a ceiling that is relatively high, but not ultra high. And I feel like Connor Riley's offensive lines are always living in that area. Like, you think it's going to be a bad year and a rough year because they lost a bunch of guys. He'll be way better than you thought. And then sometimes there have been these years where we think, man, they're just going to be total world beaters. And they're good, but it maybe doesn't quite hit that sort of level. So I'm confident in him doing his part. Defensively, I think they've got a lot of talent. Defensive line, like interior defensive line, bit of a concern. Got some new faces at linebacker. It was a tough blow losing Jake Clifton. You know, they're going to have to put Alec Marenko in and probably play quite a bit. But I think there's enough there to think that they'll be solid, and Klanderman's always so good there. So the big thing is, I think, just program depth-wise, they have so much more depth of talent than they used to, and that's really been built up over the last 2 or 3 years with the recruiting classes, and they have some high-end guys. Like, I remember sitting here last year, everyone kept asking me about the team, and I was like, I think they're good, and I think they have a lot of depth of talent. But do they have the high-end talent guys that can pull them to where Malik Knowles and Deuce Vaughn and those guys were able to? Do they have, like, the home run hitters? Felix Anudike Uzama, right? On defense, they were missing some studs, too. This year, I'm looking around like, all right, well, Avery Johnson, Dylan Edwards, DJ Giddens, like, Marquise Siegel. They've got some dudes. Desmond Purnell, I think, is a real dude that doesn't get talked about probably enough. Like, I think they have more of those guys this year that can elevate the ceiling, probably.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because from everything that we've heard, based off the people that we've been talking to, it seems more impressive to the folks on the inside on just the way that the depth has risen its game to be a little bit more consistent when you look across the board, and that when you have to take out a Brendan Mott, it's not like, oh, okay, who are we going to replace him with? You have like 7 guys. You can turn around and plug and play, and that's what it looks like on the defense. That's what makes the defense special. The offense, maybe a little bit less, but you're starting to get some of that depth. Speed is huge. Speed is huge in this league, and Kansas State's got it now on the offense and the defense. So how are we feeling about the depth and the way that Kansas State's kind of built their supporting cast pieces and the way they continue to develop players into those supporting cast roles that eventually become starters?
Yeah, I just think they have so much more talent that has started at the high school level, and they've been able to supplement with high-level transfers too. But you've seen, and maybe the recruiting rankings are a little deceiving, like in a completely neutral observer might look at it and say, well, they're recruiting class rankings. I mean, they've come up a little bit, maybe 10, 15 spots, but is it really that much different than what it was before? But I think when you really parse through it, it's just so many more guys that even their 3-star recruits had far more Power 5 offers than the 3-star recruits that they used to get. And there's so much more variance in the three-star tier than anywhere else. We're really getting into, like, the inside baseball of recruiting. But there's so much more variance in, like, what this three-star player is versus this three-star player based on what offers they have. Some guys will just get it default if they have one or two Power 5 offers. If it's a kid with 10, that's going to be a more talented kid generally in your program. And I just think they have a lot more of those. They're winning a lot more battles like that than they used to. I think they've been able to build up a lot that way. Defensive end is, like, one place I would really point to with that, where they've got – you know, between Toby Osensami and Chidi Obiazor and Jordan Allen, like Jordan Allen was one. I mean, they had to hold off Oklahoma big time at the last minute to keep him around. Like Tennessee was sniffing around USC, guys like that. And he was not a four or five star recruit, but he was a stud. He was a really big piece of that recruiting class. And he's one of those younger guys waiting to come up and play. So I just think they've got areas like that on the team that are just much more well-stocked with better athletes, better dudes, as Jerome Tang would say.
Better dudes, indeed. When you look at the conference realignment, we're sitting here at Big 12 Media Days that has 16 teams, which sounds weird saying out loud, but here we are. And last year, you brought in four teams, and then this year, you bring in another four teams. And now you're looking at just this vastly different Big 12 and expanded conference play. We've all been asking everybody, how's that going to affect Kansas State? How's that going to affect Kansas State? I think we've got the answers on that. I'm more interested in how does it affect the conference? And that's where you make your bread and butter with your John Kurtz show on YouTube. How does that affect the conference itself?
You know, it's a lot right now. I think to me, the big picture stuff that matters the most that I'm most intrigued by are like, how are they going to do the revenue sharing piece of this? Which basically all ADs, like Gene Taylor told us earlier today, he's like, yeah, we're gonna hit that full number because we have to, or else, you know, you won't be able to compete. It seems like everyone's kind of fallen in line with that after like Jeremiah Donati at TCU and Kirby Hokut at Texas Tech kind of put that out there that they were going to do it. You've seen everybody sort of fall in line with that. It's that, and is it going to come via private equity? Are they going to do the naming rights thing? Like, those are the things that really, really interest me right now. I understand realignment's like the more shiny object that people like care about more, and it drives more views, you know, if I'm thinking about my my business model and what I'm doing and all that. Like, so I get it. The ACC stuff is intriguing, and I'm sure. I mean, I had someone tell me earlier today, like, dude, Brett Yormark's like a great white shark, man. Like, he's circling the waters. He's waiting. He knows what's going on in the ACC, and he would love to get a chance to pop in there and grab somebody. I am much more interested right now in, like, what's the Big 12 going to do monetarily? Because even if you do add teams, the ACC blows up, you add the teams that you, whether it's Louisville, Pitt, NC State, Virginia Tech, whoever you think it's going to be from over there, you toss them into their league, you're still, I mean, you will at best be making the same amount of money per school, right? Like, you're still going to have this huge gap between you and the Big 10 of the SEC, and they're still going to have to figure out some way to make that work. So that to me is like the real thing with this league right now, and trying to figure out how it's going to go down. And I can tell you, I mean, it seems like a lot of the athletic directors, I think, are pretty on board with private equity or private capital, however you want to technically frame it. It's just going to be a matter of, can they get university presidents on board with it as well, which I think is a tougher putt.
Sure. And I want to get your opinion on this, because I'm a fan of like the service academies and stuff like that. What is an independent school going to do? I know there's only a handful of them, but what's an independent school going to do now that you have to do this whole revenue sharing thing? And I know that Army and Navy and Air Force, are they not being a part of that? Did I read that correctly, or am I just way out in the middle of nowhere?
Boy, I'm honestly not sure. I don't know, but I would be pretty shocked if they're going to do very much of it, if any at all. And I would just say, I think their world may change less. Like the service academy specifically, I think their world may change less than everybody else, because you think about what type of kid they were having to get in the first place, that's probably not changing too much. Like, you're going to go there specifically because that's what you want to do, right? Like, you want to serve the country, you want to be involved in all of that. General, like, independence, it's just really hard. Like, I don't, there's not much answer to it. If you, like, group of five athletic directors have been really upset about all this, because in the House settlement that's happening, they're upset with the proportion that they're having to pay. You know, I mean, they basically feel like they're paying for NIL back pay for Power 5 football players when, you know, even like the Big East, they're really upset because they have great basketball programs, but they're like, why are we paying this much? We're paying for SEC football players instead of Big East basketball players. So they do feel like they're getting screwed in it. I mean, the gaps are just growing everywhere. I mean, that's the unfortunate reality. If you're an independent, if you're a G5, if you're Big 12, ACC, the gaps are growing everywhere, and there's just not much you can do about it, unfortunately, right now, other than, I guess, try and explore things like private equity. I don't know. Maybe if the Big 12 starts that, more people will start to get involved and try and do that sort of thing. We'll see.
I don't know how much you caught it, but what was Brett Yormark's statements like to you, or what were Brett Yormark's statements like to you based off of, you know, reiterating the conference is open for business and we're doing all these things and it's very media centric, it's very flashy, it's very wow, look at all the cool stuff that the Big 12 is doing. But is that really in the direction that they're going to go? Is the gap widening and everybody's kind of sitting around twiddling their thumbs, or do you feel that the Big 12 is in a good place right now?
Did he say open for business?
Yes.
I had a bet with somebody earlier today. We were like, man, I would bet, you know, we're in Vegas, right? I would bet literally everything that I have that he will say open for business again.
Well, you won the bet. There you go.
I didn't really get to hear very much because just the way the timing of this all works out, like, we were getting players pulled to us for the stuff that we were having to do for 3 Mile, like, as that was all happening. So that I didn't really get to hear very much. This is the thing. Media days, especially the K-State day, you get through it and you're like, I was here, I experienced it all, I talked to so many people, and, like, I don't really know what happened, because the for me, the podium stuff is like the least important thing. Everybody's going to get that. I'm trying to get more unique things. And then I have to go back and see, like, okay, what happened at the podium? Because that's what will draw, like, more of the national headlines right now. So to be honest, you probably know more about what Brett Yormark had to say than I do.
And I wasn't listening. I was over here trying to do my own thing as well. So that's just what I saw on Twitter in my brief moments I was able to jump on. But
gotcha.
He did say open for business, so you win the bet.
Okay, awesome. Great news. Great news.
So the Big 12, then, you think it's in a decent place as an organization with the way that the teams are coming in and out and the way that everybody's kind of looking at the ACC and poking it with a stick, like, what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, I think Florida State and Clemson are gone one way or the other. Now, I don't know if it will be as easy as perhaps a Florida State or Clemson think that it might be. North Carolina, too, by the way. Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, I think, are gone for sure. Beyond that, you know, we'll see. It seems like ACC corners want to chatter a little bit more these days about everybody else sticking around and forming some kind of reformed ACC that would just be without the top heavy schools. And you know, they would even tell you, like, hey, we'll start chatting up West Virginia, Cincinnati, UCF, because less travel, maybe they would want to come to that league. I see more and more of that talk out there. I think the Big 12 is still in a good position, though. I don't think that they would leave. I think it would be a much better league once you take those three top heavy teams off the top of the ACC. I think they'd be fine. So yeah, I think the Big 12 is fine. I think they're definitely in more of a position of power here to see what happens, see if they can scoop some up. Don't know that they necessarily have to have that either. If the ACC does want to stick around and stay as a very weird, disjointed conference, kind of like the Big 12 that doesn't have a lot of football firepower, that's fine. They can do that, and I think the Big 12 will be okay. I will just say this. We're talking about two leagues there where the commissioners are Brett Yormark and Jim Phillips. And I don't know, like, for those who do follow the YouTube content, I mean, I'm not a big Jim Phillips fan. He's done a lot of bad that has hurt. I mean, we may not have a disparity in the college football playoff revenue payout if not for Jim Phillips. He was a part of holding that up the first time around and got Greg Sankey very upset. And he said, well, fine, we're not going to do this equitably anymore. We'll take our actual fair share of this. I think Jim Phillips has done a lot of bad in a lot of ways there. I'll take Brett Yormark 10 times out of 10. They're not always – Big 12 is not always the greatest at nailing – like the little details of, like, actually running a day-to-day conference and, like, the football parts of it, basketball parts of it, but Brett Yormark is excellent with the big picture and the marketing, and, like, he understands all that. So you need a football tiebreaker and have to change that in the middle of the season, you might have to deal with some of that, but he's got the big picture stuff figured out, so I'll take him every time over Jim Phillips there.
Cool. As we wrap things up, I know that you're a really busy guy and you do a lot of different things. You going to play any EA Sports NCAA 25?
Dude, here's my conundrum on that. So, I mean, I used to play it all the time. I would go I always was like a holiday to me, July. I would go wait for the midnight release of it. So, like, I would stand outside of GameStop in Kansas City at, like, 11:30 at night to make sure that I got the game as soon as I possibly could. Now I'm 34. I'm working a day job and have this side hustle going on. Like, I have so much to do. I haven't bought a game console. I'm at least one generation behind, maybe two. I can't remember. I think I have an Xbox One.
I think you're one, but I don't even know at this point. I can't.
Okay,
I
was hoping you guys could help me out on that.
I have a PS5. That's all I know.
Yeah, well, so I'd have to buy one, and I'm like, man, not only is this going to be a big expense, but then also, do I have the time? Is this going to suck my free time away? Derek, my co-host, was asking some of the players, like, you guys have to worry about this being a distraction, like in the locker room? You guys are going to be playing the game too much instead of studying, you know, watching film or whatever? That's my conundrum. I'm like, is this going to take away too much from what I'm trying to do to, like, you know, survive and build a business, that kind of thing? So I don't know, but I do know when it comes and it hits and I see people playing it, it's going to kill me to not do it. But I'm probably leaning toward I'm at least not going to do it right away.
Okay. Is there a team that you're thinking you're going to run with?
I mean, it'd be K-State at first for sure, because I do remember the best version of the game would have been, for a K-State fan, would have been NCAA 04, because you had the L. Roberson, Darren Sproles backfield, which not only was just great in general, but for a video game, like, that's about as good as it gets.
It's kind of broken.
Yeah, it's kind of cheating. So it would be K-State, but I know everyone says, like, oh, you take the little guy and grow him up. I always kind of liked playing with some of the bigger, fun brands. Like when I was, you know, I'd like to go play as USC. You know, that was kind of what I would do if I wasn't playing with K-State. So I hate to admit that, but there was a part of me that did really enjoy that. So that, yeah. If I were to think of like a program right now, like this year, maybe Oregon. I'm a real Dan Lanning guy, man. I like Dan Lanning a lot. I love what he's doing. I think he may be. If there's a guy that's going to go on like a Saban-like run, I think Dan Lanning has a chance to do that, which is really high praise. But I love him. I think Oregon's really fun, so I might go with the Ducks.
Okay. They always have those sweet uniform combinations too.
Yeah.
So you can't go wrong with that. Well, John, appreciate your time coming by. I know it's been a really long day. We've all been kind of sitting here trying to jam as many people into our respective booths, get as many microphones in front of faces. But it's great to talk with another K-State guy, another Manhattan Broadcasting guy.
Yes, sir.
So appreciate your time as always.
Anytime, guys. Take care.